Hallelujah.
So turn with me tonight, if you would. Let's go in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. While you're finding that, I want to read a passage to you you should be acquainted with. My husband preached it a lot. We need to get acquainted with it. And remember over in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus said, take no thought for your life. What's he mean? Don't worry. That's what it means to take thought, worrying. Don't worry. Don't take any thought about what you put on, what you eat, what you drink. Listen, if he doesn't want us worrying about the basics, the daily requirements, how he doesn't want us worrying about the bigger things. He's saying his provision is all the way down to the basics.
That's right. Amen.
It reaches the very basics of your everyday life. His provision goes that far. Amen. And then it goes on, and I'm going to read out of Matthew. I'll get over there to 2 Corinthians, but I just wanted to preface with these few verses. In Matthew 6:31, the Amplified says this, therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat, or what are we going to have to drink, or what are we going to have to wear? Listen to this. For the Gentiles wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. One translation says, these are things that those who don't know God are occupied with. There are some things that should never get our attention because we know God. You understand, there are some things that never should enter our thought life and our conversation, because then we sound like a Gentile who has no knowledge of God, doesn't know what he'll do, doesn't have any access to God. Amen. It is wrong for us to be concerned about what other people are concerned about. It's wrong. The Spirit of God spoke to my husband and said at one point, 97% of my people are living beneath what I have provided for them. That means 97% of God's people don't think right. They don't have proper, full knowledge. And we understand these things are a process. We grow in knowledge. We understand that. But the body of Christ should be further along than we are. I should be further along than I am. You could probably say you should be further. Yes. We could all be further along. But let's not let someone who's not moving in it do our thinking for us. Quit listening and taking counsel with those who aren't having it.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. And the Spirit of God said to me about 5 years or so ago now, he said, you're going to start living off the top of the barrel. And it didn't look like that for the first 3 years after that. And then when my husband went home to be with the Lord, just days after he did, the Spirit of God said to me, I already told you your future. I told you you would be living off the top of the barrel. He said, I spoke it for this season of your life. And I tell you what, I've been rising ever since. Rising ever since. Amen. Because I have no business being occupied with things that the people who don't know God are occupied with. To worry is to join the ranks of those who don't know God. In your thought life. And we have no business thinking like most men think. You know, when my husband went home to be with the Lord, one of the first things I said to my kids, because I said, the congregation is going to look to respond the way we're responding. They will call appropriate what we do.
Yes.
And they will take their cue from us. If we're sad, they'll say, out of respect, they'll be sad, which is correct. You need to have regard for your leadership. You know, if whatever we're doing, they will take their cue from us. And I said, and I'm just telling you this, I am not obligated to respond the way their unsafe family members respond. I am not obligated to respond the way those who don't know God respond. And I said, it is not a sad day in this house when my husband gains. It's not a sad day. And when Brother Copeland called me just a short time that day after my husband went home to be with the Lord, he said, well, Nancy, how are you doing? And I said, Brother Copeland, I can't act like I don't know what I know. I can't act like I've never heard the word. I can't act like heaven isn't real. I can't act like I don't believe what I believe. Amen. Well, in that respect, financially, you got no right acting like people who don't know God. Worrying over finances, all upset, all uptight. Amen. Because we belong to our Father, it moves us into a different action. And why do people not move into the proper action? They don't have proper knowledge. Now, they might have heard a sermon, and they might have amened a sermon that gave proper knowledge. But if it's not in them, they're not going to act as though that knowledge is theirs. You notice what when Paul would write in his letters and he would say things about according to my gospel. But yet the word tells us that these men of old were, they wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. These words came from the Spirit. They didn't come from Paul. They came from the Spirit. But yet notice what Paul says, my gospel. Why? It was so much in him, he called it his. This isn't just pastor's gospel. This isn't just Brother Hagin's message of faith. It's mine. Amen. And these things that we teach you, they have to become yours through knowledge acted upon. It's not knowledge until, I'm talking about Bible knowledge, until you're acting on it. Just because you've heard it doesn't mean it's knowledge to you. And if you're not acting on it, it's because it's not knowledge yet. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, thank God for the knowledge we see in this verse. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. Look, that's his grace, to be rich. And he says, you know this grace. For you know this grace, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. He never became poor till he got connected with us. Right? He became what he had never been when he got associated with man. Yet for your sakes, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And the word rich means a full supply, abundant, overflowing, more than enough. Never make it your goal that one day I'm going to be a millionaire. That you're off the word. You're off the word. Because now you have put a human natural title or definition to rich. And you need to put a Bible definition to it. Bible definition is more than enough. Abundantly supplied. If I would have been a millionaire at the time of my husband's death, I would be in worse debt today than I was at the time of his death.
That's right.
A million ain't enough. When you're left with $6.5 million that you're responsible for, being a millionaire is no compliment.
Amen.
You understand? That's human stuff. Don't let human terminology put a ceiling on what God will do for you. Anything God calls me to do, I'm funded for that. Yeah. Anything God tells me to do, I have a supply for that. Yeah. Why? Because I'm rich. Yes. Not with a dollar amount, but with supply. Yes. Whatever I need, whatever I need, as much of it that I need. Yeah. Now let's go, if you would, when we think about looking at this wording, though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. We can look at his earthly life and say, when did he become poor? People say, well, when he took on the form of man. But the only problem with that is this. When he took on the form of man, he had at his birth wise men showing up, funding his family. Stephen told us, our oldest son told my husband and I, when I was born, you started prospering. And I said, I don't quite remember you coming out of the womb with a fistful of dollars, you know. But when Jesus was born, his family prospered. Yeah. That's not because he was now moving into poverty. Rich was still flowing. And then the angel told him, get up, and the king was seeking to kill him. So he told Joseph, take the family to Egypt. They stayed there for 2 years. How do you think that they were funded? They were living off what the wise men brought them at Jesus' birth. 2 year vacation, baby. All expenses paid. Why? Rich. Yeah, whatever is needed at the time will be there. Whatever is needed at the time. The problem with a lot of Christians is they want to say yes to God's plan after the money shows up, but faith has to say yes before the supply shows up. And until you say yes, the supply isn't available to you. The supply is for people who say yes. Not to people who can calculate how God's going to do it. You have to have enough faith to say yes. Before the supply, say yes, now you qualify for the supply that yes calls for.
Amen.
Notice Mary said yes to the angel, right? But the wise men didn't bring any provision until after she said yes. Not before she said yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have faith enough to say yes, provision won't make you say yes. It takes faith to say yes. And so when we look at Jesus' earthly ministry, we never see him poor. As I was saying, I don't know, yesterday morning or whenever, Sunday morning, I don't know when I said it. And I said that, praise the Lord. Whenever he has brought us into supply, we have to have the right answer in our mouth.
Yeah, right.
Jesus had these, I think it was night before, I don't know, Sunday night that I said it, that we have to understand that there will be people anointed to fund. That's their assignment. And there were wealthy women that followed Jesus and funded him. That's not what a poor man has.
That's right. Yeah.
One time I was talking in the back room to R.W. Shambach, and he said to me, he says, you know, I'm discriminated against. I said, are you now? He said, yeah. And I said, in what way are you discriminated against? He said, they never invite me to preach women's meetings. And he says, I want to preach women's meetings. They're the ones with the wallet. They're the ones that give.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus did women's meetings.
Yes, he did.
It was the women that followed him and funded him. Yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. So we don't see him poor throughout his earthly ministry. When you have a traveling bank,
yes,
it follows you. And then when he needed to feed the multitude, and it looked like there wasn't enough, and they said, they gave the reasons why they couldn't do it, and they said, there is a little boy here with 2 fish and 5 loaves, and he said, bring it here. He heard more than enough when he heard the quantity. Because even though it looked like it wasn't enough, he knew how to make it become enough. He knows how to make what is not enough be more than enough. That's called rich thinking. Let me tell you, prosperity involves a mentality. You'll never be more prosperous than the way you think. You have to think right. If you think cheap, you think broke, you think withhold. If somebody has to wrench money out of your hands, it's not a money problem. It's a thinking problem, a faith problem. It's your faith that lets you think like that. Your lack of faith that lets you think like that. Your faith level. You think to the level of your faith. And so they brought him the loaves and the fish, and it says he looked up to heaven. This is a key to supply. This is a big key. He didn't look at the crowds. He looked up to heaven. He didn't look at the need. He looked in the direction that supply comes from.
Praise God.
You understand that? When you are sitting down to pay your bills, and it seems as though you don't have enough, you cannot keep looking at your checkbook and start talking. You're going to have to look a different direction. You're going to have to look the faith direction and say, I don't care what my checkbook says. My God shall supply. Father, I thank you. See, if you don't learn how to say the right thing in the face of not enough, you'll never have more than enough.
That's right. Amen.
And he blessed it. It says he blessed it. He didn't curse it. To curse it means to say, why'd you bring me 2 loaves and 5 fish? 2 fish and 5 loaves. Don't you see all the people? Don't you know this isn't enough? That's called cursing it. It's not using profanity. It's saying something different than the word says. To bless it is to take a $5 bill, which is all you got, and say, Father, I thank you for this. Amen. And I thank you that you will cause what I have in my hand to become more than enough for my life. That's called blessing. And that's what Jesus did. When he held up the loaves and the fish, and then he brought it back down to distribute it, you know it had not multiplied in his hands, because no man can hold enough to feed 20,000 people. It had not multiplied yet. But he started distributing the amount he had. In the distribution, it became more than enough. In the distribution, it became more than enough. I had my financial gal who came to me, this was a couple of years ago, and she said, Pastor Nancy, I don't know how to tell you this, because I'd asked her for a year-end financial report. She says, I've been wondering how to tell you this. I've gone over it and gone over it and gone over it, and I cannot tell you this. How? She said, we paid out $131,000 more dollars than we took in, and we're not in the red. She says, I don't know how. And I said, you better be glad you have a boss that has faith. Because in the distribution, what was not enough became more than enough. It could not be calculated. God's supply, it does not have to fit your calculations. So Jesus was poor, not on his earthly ministry. So when did he become poor? He became poor the same place he became sin. He became poor the same place he became sickness. At Calvary, your sin was laid up on him. At Calvary, your sickness and disease was laid up on him. At Calvary, your poverty was laid up on him. That's when poor was laid up on him, and he became poor. At the same place he became sin and sickness.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, It's important that we know when he became poor, because then that tells us when we became rich.
Yeah.
We became free from the power of sin when? At the new birth. Isn't that right? When we received Jesus as Savior, the price he paid as Savior is the time, that's when we became free from that. When we received the price he paid at the new birth. At the new birth, you became free from the power of sin. The word says, sin shall not lord it over you anymore. What's that mean? Before you were born again, when the temptation of sin came, you had no power to stand against it. You cooperated with it. You yielded to it. But now that you're born again, because you're free from the power of sin, when that same temptation comes back, you say, no, you don't. You used to run my life before. That addiction used to run my life. That perversion used to run my life. That fear used to run my life. No more. I'm free from the power. It shall not lord it over you anymore. But if you don't know it, you'll still act like the old man, just giving in to it. Nothing can hold you in bondage without your permission. Because Jesus said, sin shall not lord it over you. When did that happen? At the new birth. Why? Because he took the power of sin, broke its power at Calvary. Right?
Yes, amen.
You do that by faith. Isn't that right? When the temptation to sin, the temptation to do wrong, to go a wrong direction comes, you are authorized to talk to that, and you do that by faith.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Even though you may feel all the same symptoms, you may feel all the same temptations, the same urges. There was one pastor that said before he was saved, he was a drug addict. And he said just a couple of years ago, because he'd been free for years, and he said, I was thinking I'm going to drive down and see the house I was raised in. He said, when I got in the neighborhood, he said, every one of those symptoms of addiction came back on me, just getting in that proximity. He said, it was like I was already on drugs again. What was that? That was the temptation to pull him back into it. The temptation. And he answered it, said, no, you don't. Now, if he wouldn't have known that, if he wouldn't have known that he was free from that, it could have, he said, my body felt like the drugs were back in it. Now, you know that's a spirit.
Yes.
When people are trying to get free, they don't have to try.
Sure.
You just have to know sin shall not lord it over you.
Amen.
You are authorized to talk to it and say, no, you don't.
That's right.
Well, likewise at Calvary, because we're not only free from the power of sin, because of the price he paid, and we receive that by faith, we're free from the power of sickness.
Yes.
That when symptoms come, we say, no, you don't.
That's right.
No, you don't. Yeah. You're not coming on me. Why? Because at the new birth, we were born into health.
Yes.
We were born into it.
Amen.
We're not the sick trying to get healed.
Yes.
We are the healed, and sickness tries to come.
Yeah.
You see, there's the difference.
There's
you have to know you are not the sick trying to get healed. You're the healed, and sickness tries to come and take your health from you. But because you know that, then when it comes, the temptation, symptoms is nothing but a temptation to be sick. It's a temptation. Likewise, you do that by faith, don't you? Well, when lack tries to come, not enough tries to run your life and push you around and devour your finances, then you say, no, you don't. I was born into supply.
Yes.
See, you don't earn this rich. You're born into it. You're born into it. You don't earn it. And you move into it by faith. The same way you moved into freedom from sin, by faith. The same way you move into freedom from sickness and disease, by faith. You receive it. Same way you receive this rich, by faith. Now, that's not a license for people to sit at home and have no job. Because God says he will bless what you set your hand to. He expects you to set your hand to something, and the more you set your hand to, the more His avenues of blessing increase.
Amen.
God uses your job as an avenue.
Yes.
God uses ideas that you may have as avenues.
Amen.
That's right.
Avenues can change. Yes. Don't get upset when you lose your job. My gosh, that's just a change of avenue. That avenue's not your provider. God's your provider, but avenues change. When Pastor was driving us here on the way to church, we turned down a road and he says, oh, I thought there would be no construction on this road. What are they doing? They're addressing avenues.
Yeah.
Avenues change all the time. Yeah. If you worried because an avenue changed, right. Your faith, now we know, we got right. You located. You thought that avenue was your provider.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Now, if I'd have thought that, I'd have been up a creek when my husband went home to be with the Lord. God's my provider. God's my provider. Avenues change all the time.
Amen.
When did you become the saved? At the new birth.
Yeah.
When did you become the healed? At the new birth. When did you become the rich? At the new birth. How are you going to walk free from the power of sin? You say it. How are you going to walk free from the power of sickness? You say it. How are you going to walk free from the power of poverty? You say it.
Amen.
You have to say it. What are you going to say? Well, when symptoms show up, you go, no, you don't, because I'm healed.
Right.
When lack shows up, say, no, you don't, because I'm rich.
Right.
No, you don't. I'm rich. I'm rich.
Amen.
He made me rich.
Right.
I didn't earn this. I didn't work for it. I didn't pray enough hours to get it. I didn't confess enough scriptures to get it. I was born this way. That's part of who I am as a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Poverty is an old thing. It's an old thing. There was a minister who came up to a Jewish businessman, and this man had several businesses and quite well off. And this minister said to him, tell me how you prosper. And this man said, I don't understand your question. He said, how do you prosper? He says, I don't understand your question. He said, well, tell me how you prosper. And he said, I'm a Jew. Did you get it?
Yeah.
In his head, Jew and prosperity were the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're trying to get me to separate something that cannot be separated. We're the same thing.
Yeah.
You're trying to get me to define myself apart from being a Jew, and you can't.
Right.
Understand that?
Yes.
If someone were to say to me, how did you get to be a female? I would have to say, I don't understand your question.
Right.
No matter how many times you ask it, I don't understand your question.
Right.
And obviously you don't either. Because I didn't become this way. I was born this way.
Born that's right.
You don't become the healed. You are born the healed at the new birth. You don't become the victorious over sin. You are born that way. You don't become the rich through your endeavors. You are born that way. That's who you are. It's all wrapped up in one. It's wrapped up in the new creature who you are. New creature in Christ. There's a particular verse that's used so often at marriages, and it's perfectly appropriate, but too many times we limit it to marriage ceremonies. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Why? You start dividing what God joins together, and you're going to have hardship. Because if God joined it to you, it's because you need that. I don't divide me from rich. We're the same thing. He was made poor that I might be rich. That's who I am. That's not simply what I have. That's who I am.
Amen.
I'm rich.
That's right. Amen.
It's not homes that make you rich. It's not income that makes you rich. It's not your profession that makes you rich. You understand that? You're rich because you're joined one with Him. When you talk around your dinner table, I never have enough. We can't pay our bills. I don't know where we're going to get the money from. You are not talking. You're trying to divide asunder what God has joined together and don't think you'll be blessed for it. In the mind of that preacher that was talking to that Jew, he was trying to divide rich from the Jew. The Jew says, you can't do that. We're the same thing.
Yes.
You can't divide prosperity from me. You cannot divide it. You can't divide female from me. Can't do it. It's not possible. I don't care what kind of outfit you put on. Let me tell you how homosexuals become homosexuals. Can I tell you this?
Yes.
A demon tells them, you're not a man.
Yeah, that's right.
You're a woman in a man's body.
That's right.
You know how a lesbian becomes a lesbian? You're not a woman. You're a man in a woman's body. It's a lie.
It is a lie.
It's a deceiving spirit.
Yes.
It's the same thing when you'll never have enough money. You never have enough. That's a deceiving spirit trying to make you wear something different than you were born to be. Same devil deceiving. He's a deceiver. If he can deceive you into thinking it's hard for you to get money, you won't ever have enough. He's trying to talk you out of who you are and trying to make you dress and be differently than who you are. You understand that? You are the rich.
Yes.
Not trying to get that way. It's who I am. It's my birthright. It's my birthright. Now, why are 97% living beneath? They don't know that. They don't know that. They don't know they're rich. They're out trying to make it. They're out trying to get it. They don't know it. My people are destroyed, cut off for the lack of knowledge, cut off from the blessing of, cut off from being rich.
Yeah, sure.
Cut off from it. Why? Because they don't have knowledge that they are rich. They're trying to get it. When you get this, your conversations at dinner change.
That's right.
Amen. The way you answer your children changes.
Praise God.
It is not your job as a parent to tell your children what they cannot have. I'm not talking about keeping them in the straight and narrow. I'm not talking about keeping them from wrong associations.
Sure.
I'm talking about it's not your job to tell them that they can't have what other kids who belong to the devil have.
Right. That's right.
It's not your job.
That's right.
Because then you're trying to represent God to them as being one who says no. If your children are asking for something, my children have never, if they wanted something, they never heard me tell them, we cannot afford that. Never have my children ever heard me say that. They never heard my husband say that.
Yeah.
What we would say, if we did not have the money for that, I would say, honey, if that's important to you, I know where we can get it. Let's ask God.
Yeah.
Let's use our faith and let's get that.
Yeah.
Because I'm rich, I can ask that and know that it will show up.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not your job to tell them what they can't have, because then they think living the Christian life is a less than life because they heard their Christian parents all their life saying, we can't afford it, we can't have it, we can't ever do it. And I decided if anybody's going to live rich, it's me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Rich is not just what we're earning. It's what we believe.
It's what we believe.
It's not homes that make me rich. It's not homes that make you rich.
That's right.
It's not cars that make you rich. Because you're rich, homes must come.
Yeah.
Because you're rich, cars you need must come.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Summerall, how many of you know there's balance to every message that the Word brings?
Amen.
There's balance. And there has been, at times, imbalance portrayed at times or talked about when it comes to prosperity. But don't let the critics of prosperity define the balance.
That's right.
Let the Word define the balance.
Yeah.
But I appreciate what Dr. Summerall said. He said, because he brought the balance to this. He said, if you want a nice home, that's fine. You want two nice homes, that's fine. Have a couple nice homes, have them as nice as you want them. He said, you want nice cars, that's fine. Have one, have two, have three that you need. Don't have 10, don't have 12. He said, when you start heaping it up for show, now you're in error.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's right. We're rich, we're not trying to heap it up so we can show better ourselves and try to gain our self-worth from that. When you try to attach your self-worth to your income, you're off the word. You are in Christ, and it's not your income that defines you. It's in Christ. And people who don't have that straight aren't safe with rich yet. You understand? That's why some believers don't move into all that really is available to them, because they think wrong toward money. You think wrong toward money and you're not safe with it. You're not big enough for it. Amen. You have to think right. Right thinking is, I'm rich because of what he did for me. That means all that I need that will come. Not only this, not only all I need will come, all I enjoy. All I enjoy. If I enjoy it, God says he's given us richly all things. Notice, he's given us all things richly. Not just squeaking it out. Richly. He has given us all things richly to enjoy. If you would enjoy it, he wants it for you.
Yes. Amen.
I have told the ladies in our church, it is not your job to tell your husband he can't have the 10th piece of stainless steel or shiny thing on his truck. It's not your job. If he would enjoy that, you need to say okay instead of saying you shouldn't have any more of it. And it's not your job, husbands, to tell ladies that they can't have a new paint job on a house. Job to tell them. It's not your job to put the lid on what your spouse enjoys.
Yeah, that's right. Come on now.
Because God says he's given us richly all things to enjoy. If you would enjoy it, he wants it for you. Now, if you just want to show it off and show that you're better than somebody else with it, you don't qualify. Well, praise the Lord. Rich is not just what we have. It's who we are. I said, it's who we are. Turn with me, if you would. Let's go to Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22. And let's look at verse 21. Job chapter 22 and verse 21. The King James says this: Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Let me read to you out of the Amplified. If you don't have an Amplified, just listen to how this reads. Acquaint now yourself with him. And then it tells in parentheses what acquainted people that are acquainted with God, it tells what they do. It says, acquaint now thyself with him. Agree with God. When you have a conversation around your dinner table at night, says, I don't know where we're going to get the money from, part of your problem right now is you're not in agreement with God.
That's right.
Why are you not in agreement? Why are you not saying the same thing as he's saying? Because you're not acquainted with him.
Yeah, sure.
You don't know him.
Yeah.
You don't know his word. Yeah, I do, but I'm under pressure. That means you don't know him. If you, they have some of the cutest little kids around here. I've seen more little strawberry blonde children around here. So cute, little tight ringlets and If you put one of these little two-year-olds up on a, if this were a bigger pulpit that were a little bit stabler, then you put a child on there and a man comes up, big old usher, that the child's not acquainted with, says, "Honey, jump to me." She's going to look at him and go, "Mm-mm, I don't know you." Mama can come up 89 pounds and say, "Honey, jump to mama." And that baby go, "A one and a two." He's obviously stronger than she is, but she doesn't know the other one.
That's right.
When God says jump, you jump. Yeah. And if you don't, it's because you don't know him. You don't know him. When the boss says jump, you jump. You jump. There are people who jump for their boss and won't jump for their pastor. If the boss asks them to work overtime, they'll work overtime. But if the pastor asks them to serve in an area they don't like, they won't. Why? The one they know is the one they jump for. You always jump for the one you know.
That's right.
Amen. I said to one of my ushers, he works long, hard hours. Precious man. He's always at his post. When we have our camp meeting, when we have our Holy Ghost meetings, he takes his vacation time in that so he can serve. That's his vacation. That's all vacation he gets is our meetings. And he will stand out there, because you know us preachers, after we have a meeting, then we have food afterwards, we can have a good long time of fellowship. He refuses to leave until every preacher is in their car and out of the driveway.
Amen.
He will stand there till 12, 12:30, 1, 1:30, and that's his vacation time. And I said to him, I said, "Brother, you don't have to stay out here this long till we're done." "Oh, yes, I do." He said, "Yes, I do. Don't tell me I don't have to do my job." And I said, "Well, brother, I just feel bad that you're out here so much." He said, "Pastor, if the boss asked me to work overtime, I wouldn't think twice about it."
Right.
See, you jump for the one you know.
Yeah.
I said, you jump for the one you know. Acquaint now thyself with him.
Yes.
That's what the word says. Acquaint now yourself with him. Then it says, agree with him. You know how much you know him by how much you agree with him. If every time you're having a conversation, one thing that irks me, if I have to deal with a staff member correct to something, is if there's a rebuttal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rebuttals irk me because it's a nice way of arguing.
Yep.
Why wasn't this done? Well, Pastor, you know, don't. Quit. I'm not here to argue. But yet people sitting around the dinner table, "I don't know where the money's going to come from." You're arguing. You're arguing. You haven't agreed yet. You haven't agreed. I'm rich.
That's right.
Well, it doesn't work for me. Well, keep arguing. Acquaint now thyself with him. When should you get acquainted? Right now.
Yes.
Acquaint now thyself with him. Agree with him. Amen. Now let the Amplified in verse 21 goes on to say this. Acquaint now yourself with him. Agree with God. Then it says this. And show yourself to be conformed to his will. What's that mean, show yourself? It means be a doer of what you say you agree with. You say you agree, but if you don't act it out, you don't agree. If you're not doing it, you're not agreeing. Show yourself is what you do. There are a lot of people that say, "Oh, I agree with Pastor. I believe in tithes and offerings. I agree." But then they don't do it.
Then you don't agree.
Your doing shows what you agree with, not just your words. Your doing is what you agree with. Because there's a lot of people who have learned to say, they've learned the faith lingo. They've learned with their words to say the right thing, but in their actions they say something different. So, acquaint now yourself with God. Agree with him. Show yourself to be conformed to his will. Look at this. And be at peace. Why are people worried? They're not agreeing with God.
There you go.
All worried people have not yet agreed with the word.
Amen.
They've not yet agreed. And then they're not doing it because they're not showing themselves to be in agreement. There are people who say, I believe God can help me out. I believe God can change this difficult situation. Yes, but if you're worried, you're not doing what you say you agree with. See, worry is an act of disagreement with the word. Yeah. Fear is an act of disagreeing. Does the temptation of fear come? To everyone. Does the temptation to be sick come? To everyone. Does the temptation to be broke come? To everyone.
That's right.
But what are you agreeing with?
Come on.
That's right.
You're so good.
It's going to come.
Yeah.
It's coming to see what you agree with.
Yeah, right.
Praise the Lord. Again, verse 21, now acquaint yourself with him, agree with God, and show yourself to be conformed to his will, and be at peace. By that, by what? By being acquainted with God, by agreeing with God, by conforming, by doing what he says, by that you shall prosper. Yeah.
That's so good.
You shall prosper.
Yeah.
Notice, your prosperity is connected to whether or not you agree that you're rich.
Yes. Yes. Come on.
You got to agree with it.
So good.
If you agree with it, then you're going to talk like you're rich.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You're going to act in line with being rich. Let me tell you something. When it looked like financially I was having a downward nosedive, I just kept, I'd hold on to my steering wheel going down the road saying I'm rich. Because I'm rich, the answer has to come. Because I mean, when the bombardment would try to come on the mind, brother, I started talking.
Come on.
Yes.
I had a situation to where I was informed just a couple of months before $500,000 was due. I didn't know it was coming due. I did not know. And it was personal. It wasn't ministry. It's personal. If I would have faulted on that, it would have had a domino effect that would have ruined every other personal financial deal.
Sure, yes.
You know, some things are kind of pivotal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And on the inside of me, when I heard about that, that I didn't know that that was something that was I was responsible for, and then when I heard about it, I looked on the inside of me and I said, God, what do I do? And on the inside, I just had the sense, it'll be there. It'll be there. Do I go get a loan? Do I go borrow? What do I do? And I had the sense, it'll be there. I didn't know how it was going to be there. I told God the day my husband died, I said, God, I tell you this, I will never look to insurance to get me to the other side of this situation. And it's a good thing I haven't. Because it was minimal. And so when I had this money due, just I had the sense on the inside, it'll be there. I knew of one potential avenue that it could come through. One. 4 weeks before that money was due, that avenue shut down. That avenue shut down. And I decided, not my problem.
Yeah.
Not my problem. I cannot of myself go out and earn $500,000 in the next 4 weeks. Can't do it.
Right. Yeah, right, right.
If I could have, I would have by now.
Yeah.
That's right.
So no use me worrying about it. I can't do it. See, right then I'm deciding, do I agree that I'm rich or not?
Yeah.
Do I agree that I'm provided for or not? Listen, not enough has knocked on my door.
Right.
When not enough knocks on your door, rich better answer.
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes, come on. Praise God.
I didn't lose 1 ounce of sleep, and you know I didn't miss a meal. And I didn't touch it in my thought life. Why? Because agree with God and be at peace.
Yes.
That's what we just read.
Yes.
Agree with God and be at peace. If I would have come out of peace, it's because I came out of agreement.
Yeah, you're right.
You can know whether or not you're agreeing by whether or not you're in peace when you're faced with something.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
It says, by this, shall you prosper. By this, what? Knowing what God says, agreeing with it, and doing in line with what you agree. I had to keep getting up and preaching. God will take care of you. I was preaching. God will supply for you. And here I am. It looks like the avenue shuts down. For a week, that avenue was shut down. I mean, they had gotten legal people to help shut that avenue down. And for a week, all I heard was, that option is closed. That option is done. That option is no longer on the table. And I just kept saying, God will take care of me. I don't care what avenue he uses. I don't care. Why? I can't have my faith in an avenue. I cannot have my faith. Your faith has no business being on an avenue. If you get upset when you get fired, now we know where your faith was. If you get upset when your job, when you get cut back, now we know where your faith is. If you come to church that day and you're sadder than you were last week, now we know where your faith was. People wear their faith on their face. You do know that. And so for a week they said, this avenue is closed. It's not going to happen. I just kept saying, my God will take care of it. I have a supply. God will take care of me. At the end of the week, that exact avenue opened up and did what they said it would not do. It opened back up. And the money came through that avenue. Let me tell you something. The devil can, if I could say this, he can launch guerrilla warfare against an avenue.
Sure.
Close that avenue down to see if he can change your words.
Because
if he can change your words, the avenue will never open back up.
Amen.
He will cloak, if I could say this, an avenue to make it look like it's not going to work, to see if he can get your words. Because if he gets your words, he got exactly what he needed. If he can get your agreement away from the word, if he can get your doing away from the word, praise the Lord. So it says now, acquaint now yourself with him, agree with God, and show yourself to be conformed to his will, and be at peace, so that you shall prosper. Why do believers, why are 97% not prospering as they should? They may be prospering to a measure, but why are they not prospering as they should? Because this verse.
Yeah.
They haven't agreed with God. In the face of circumstance, you better know what to agree with. Because circumstances scream for your agreement. And you have to decide where your agreement's going to go when circumstances show up. And so it says here, men, show yourself to be conformed to his will and be at peace so that you shall prosper. Look at this. And great good shall come to you.
Amen.
Notice, it just comes. I don't have to chase great good. It just comes to me because I agree with the right things.
Amen.
Keep your agreeing strong. Keep your agreeing on target. Many people are out chasing things when if they would just tend to what they're agreeing with, keep the wrong thing off of your agreement. If you would tend to what you're agreeing, what you know what your agreement is? It's your faith. What you agree with is what you have faith in. Faith is simply as simple as what you agree to.
Amen. Praise God.
When God comes for your faith, he's coming for your agreement. That's what he's coming for. It's that simple. Many are protecting their money when they need to be protecting their agreement. They're protecting their job when they need to be protecting their agreement. People are protecting, they're protecting their income. They'll fight family and destroy their marriage for their income. They'll put their marriage on the chopping block as long as they can keep their money in place. Yeah, they do it all the time. If you will protect your, what are you agreeing with? Then everything else will fall in place.
Amen.
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 I don't know about you. I'm glad to know I'm rich.
Yes.
I'm rich.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be that way. It's who I am. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to pray enough for it. It's not by my works. It's by what I believe.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Should you pray? Absolutely. Should you read your Bible? Absolutely. Does praying and reading your Bible earn richness? No. It just makes it you sure-footed and fortified in who you are and what you have. So that agreeing is easy and not a difficulty. Amen. I'm rich. You need to ride down the road in the car on the way to work. Thank God I'm rich. Because I'm rich, customers come to me. Because I'm rich, business opportunities open up to me. They have to come because I'm rich. Great good comes to me. It comes to me because I'm rich. Rich means fully supplied, more than enough. Amen. That means you're going to have to think in terms of more than enough. Quit thinking cheap, quit thinking tight, quit thinking withholding. Tighter than the skin on a grape, you know, just. If you're not generous, it's because you don't know you're rich.
Come on now.
And I'm going to tell you, you young single girls, never marry a man who's not generous. He's not fit to live with. If he's not generous, you for the rest of your life are going to have to struggle for every dime you get. Well, we'll get the word in him. Let him get it in him before he marries you. I wouldn't want to take a chance of living with somebody cheap and tight for the rest of my life. If you're cheap and tight, you don't know you're rich yet. If you're always looking for the cheap, 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 cheap. I've learned this. Expensive is cheaper because you only have to buy it once.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Walk through your house. I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm rich. Now, when you understand you're rich, the Holy Ghost will lead you to do things based on the level you understand. When you say I'm rich, I'm not telling you to go out and buy a $3 million house when you make $30,000.
Right, sure, that's right.
I'm telling you what it says in this last verse, it'll come. Things will come.
Yeah.
Things will come, and when they come, then you know what's yours to take.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Well, are you helped tonight? Yeah. I'm rich. He was made poor. At Calvary, that I might be made rich at the new birth.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm not earning it, not praying for it, but I have faith for it.
Amen.
And because I'm rich, avenues that He supplies my life through open up. I don't just have one avenue. I want several avenues, many avenues. Amen. You're going to have to get it up here too. You got to get it in your heart. But you got to get it in your thinking too. Amen. Amen. Quit thinking cheap. Quit talking cheap. That means that a lot of conversations around the dinner table are going to have to change. Yeah. Not only have people eaten the food off their table, they've eaten the faith out of their heart many times at dinner tables. Talking and conversing the wrong thing. Well, stand with me to your feet. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. If it weren't for your word, we wouldn't know these things. But we're so grateful for your word that shows us. So vast, so broad is the supply that you have for us. Father, we're so grateful to know this, that my God shall supply all my need according to your riches and glory. On the scale of your wealth, you're meeting my need. I have a supply. For the rest of my life, I'll always have a supply. Every circumstance that arises, every need that arises, there's a supply for it. And I thank you, Father. It's that I am rich with supply. I'm rich with supply. If it's a supply of finances, I'm rich with that. If it's a supply of healing, I'm rich with that. If it's a supply of peace, I'm rich with that. Everything I have need of, I have an abundant supply of. I thank you, Father, for the supply. And I agree with you tonight, Father. We agree with you in this place tonight. We agree with your word. Jesus was made poor that we might be rich, so we say he accomplished his job. And made us rich. We're so grateful We're so grateful to move into the blessing of Abraham. It belongs to us. The word tells us Abraham was very rich. That's the blessing we moved into. We are the offspring, the children of Abraham, children of faith. We move into this by faith. We give you thanks, Father. We give you thanks. Let me tell you, if you have a child that's born into a family of abject poverty, that child's reach would be quite limited because it wouldn't reach for anything because there's nothing that's available to it, right? They can't have what the others have, or they quit reaching. You take that same child, let them be adopted into the family of someone so wealthy. And I mean, if you had children that were born into a wealthy family, I'm talking like wealth that is immeasurable. Homes and properties and all kinds of things. If they wanted to go on a vacation, they wouldn't think twice, because they know there's a provision for that in their wealth. Right? They wouldn't even think twice. They don't worry about it. They don't go to bed and say, oh, I hope I have enough money to rent a car. They're not calculating. They're just enjoying. But you take a child that's born in this other situation and they're adopted in, that child will not start reaching at once. It'll take time for that child to move into what this other child who was born into wealth, the way he acts toward it. Right?
Yes.
Your father is wealthy. Wealthy. He adopted you.
Yes.
Quit talking in your father's family like you still belong in the family you were adopted out
yes.
of. Quit having conversation like you still are in the family you were adopted out of. Amen.
Amen.
You are adopted into his wealth.
Yes.
When you were adopted into the family, you were adopted into all that is his.
Yes.
We need to let that roll around on the inside of us. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 1 verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. One translation says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with everything that heaven itself enjoys.
Yes.
Yeah.
If heaven enjoys it, we should be enjoying it.
That's right.
Why? Because we are adopted into all that belongs to heaven. It's made ours now. It's a process to get people reaching and talking and believing like the new family instead of the old family. Amen. But the only way to really have all that he's provided for us is to start talking like our Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we're so grateful. We're so grateful. We're free from the power of sin. Never again shall sin lord it over us. We're free from sickness and disease. It has no more authority over our lives. And Father, likewise, we thank you that we are rich. Lack has no more authority. Never again will we be in lack. Never again. We won't think like it. We won't act like it. We won't behave like it. Because now we know we're rich. And when we understand and believe, move into that knowledge, life is different. So we thank you for giving us a different life. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. We give you all the thanks and praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Pastor.